Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
He's like sewing like artifacts into his costumes to like feel more, I don't know, feel more Nick Cage.
Have you ever met him?
No, I never want to meet him.
You don't want to meet
him? No.
Why? Everyone's got their thing.
Who, what, where? This is the Fanatics Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nicolas Cage.
No, that's not Nick Cage. That's just me, David Magadoff, doing a funny Nick Cage impression. I'm here with my actual real co-host, Miss Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. How long did it take you to perfect the Nick Cage voice? That's very good.
Any good impression should really just take about 3 minutes on a YouTube clip.
This is why you're a talented comedian, and I'm just an actor.
Just a wonderful actor and a fantastic co-host. By the way, guys, if you enjoy the Fanatics Podcast, we're saying it right at the top. Feel free to 5-stars it up wherever you are. Like, subscribe, share, any of those verbs. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And as you probably already know, today's topic is the one, the only, Nicolas Cage. And we have on with us the one, the only, Maria Thayer. Yes, a wonderful actress and comedian. You know her from Strangers with Candy, Eagle Heart, The Mindy Project, Comedy Bang Bang, You're the Worst, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Table 19, so much more. She's also a co-executive producer and writer on Liza on Demand. And I had her out for my improv show ages ago where she talked about her past and most wonderful and most interesting relationship with Mr. David Harbour. But that is a story for another day. She is so great and so funny, isn't she, Claire?
She is so funny and so sweet and just seems like one of those people that you, like, I just kind of want to hang out with her. You know what I mean? Like, just seems really, really cool. So I'm not surprised you're friends, David. Not surprised at all. You know, you attract the good ones, the good peeps out there in the world.
She is a good peep. She's just, and you'll hear it in just a second. I think the thing that's so charming about her, and I think this is why she works so much, even though she lives like a smaller life and keep things kind of, you know, manageable, she would say, and why she likes people like Nick Cage is because they're so big. But I think she's a bigger personality than you think. When she gets into something, as you could see, she's just so wonderfully into it. And I think there's such a charm and such a magnetization and attractiveness to that. And I think that's why she's put in so many projects. I still remember her from a 30 Rock episode ages ago where she just played this, like, you know, young Kenneth-like, funny, exciting, overeager young woman. And that's who she is. She is just so, when she's into something, she's so into it. I think we have to be reminded, and thank you, Maria, for reminding us that it's cool to be into shit. So please enjoy this wonderful episode where a really cool person is really into the shit that is Nicolas Cage. All right, Maria, we know you like Nick Cage, but would you say he's a national treasure?
I would say that. He's an artistic, probably global treasure.
Would you say he's a national treasure too?
I love that. David, that's phenomenal. Rhea, what is it about Nick Cage that you are fanatical about? Give us your insight into the NZ.
Well, I just, you know, I'm an actor, but I'm not like a huge movie buff or anything. And, you know, the people that I loved as kids were like Emma Thompson. They were like Kate Winslet. Like, and I still love them. It was, you know, all these like British dames. But recently I watched Pig, that movie with Nicolas Cage.
Yes, last year.
Yeah. It's about his love for a pet pig. It's like, first of all, how'd this get made? But it probably just got made because Nicolas Cage wanted to do it. And anything that he wants to do, you would throw money at. So then a friend of mine who I watched Pig with, he was like, you have to read this article, this interview with Nick Cage. And in it, he sort of talks about like how he has no impulse to be realistic in any of his jobs. You know, he's always doing like some like, you know, Porky Pig, like his version of like the Energizer Bunny or something that he chooses. So when you know that every single movie you watch of him, he's so bizarre. He's just a commitment to the bizarre that I just find so exciting in a movie star.
You're enthralled.
I also don't really, even as an actor, I don't really know what good acting is. You know what I mean? Like it could be anything. It could be tiny, one tier, or it could be enormous. You don't know. And
it's subjective is what you're saying. It is in the eye of the beholder.
I mean, I really like anything in theater. If anyone's, I really have a hard time. When I go to see plays with people, they'll be like, oh, that person's bad. I never think anyone's bad. Never. Even if they forgot their lines, I probably would still think that it was like an exciting thing to see.
I totally agree with you. I'd be like the worst critic ever because I love everything. Like, I'm like, it was great. I can find something good in everything. But that being said, Nick Cage movies are pretty great. I mean, Raising Arizona.
I mean, he's done some bad. I mean, you know, he had this whole, he owed a lot of money. I think he was going to go bankrupt. And instead of going bankrupt, and I think it was because he was like buying like dinosaur skulls and like huge pieces of land in like Rhode Island. It was just like the weirdest shit that he was spending all his money on. But instead of going bankrupt, he was like, no, I'm just going to do every single movie that comes to me. Like video on demand movies he would do. And he says, and I believe him, that he always cared and he always put all of himself in these like shitty movies. And it's really impressive.
What was the beginning point for you? What was Patient Zero? What was the movie that you think you first saw of his? Or maybe better the question, the one that made you go, is it Pig? The one that made you realize you have
a combination with this article also where he talked about how his acting was like, he had what kind of acting? I wrote it down. I put it in my let's see. He has a name for his acting. It's like nouveau shaman. That's what he calls his kind of acting.
Nouveau shaman?
Yeah.
Did he explain what that means?
I think he just thought it was like actors are shamans and he put nouveau in front of it to make it sound fancy.
That sounds perfect. Because of this interview that we're very excited about with you, because we do think the idea of talking about Nicolas Cage for a significant period of time is a beautiful thing. I went to like a giant quotes list of his and it's great because to hear him just talk about anything. And one of the things he says is that he, like you're talking about good acting, he says that he had a realization one day that, you know, most actors that he grew up with, Spencer Tracy, you know, James Dean, he's like had very distinct voices. And so then he decided to make his voice a little stylized. Like the voice he uses in acting, he's like, I wonder then what his actual voice he had previously. I love that he actually is like, I'm going to just change my voice a little bit because I want to be a star.
Yeah, it's so wild. He also does this thing where I think it's called Stock. It's from a composer that was like a surrealist composer. I think his name was Stockhausen or something. And so he so it was supposed to be when you look at surreal things, it takes you out, your brain out of the normal and sort of like makes you question everything. Like it just sort of slows your brain down. So he says that there's this one moment, I can't remember what movie, but he says a word, like I'll just use the word farce or something. And he goes, farce. And he just, but there's nothing, like he just makes it surreal and weird for no reason. For no reason. Just to like make the audience sort of like go, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. And that sort of takes you out of yourself and out of your viewing experience. It's just so bizarrely artistic for someone who is in like Face Off.
Well, Maria, I mean, we all in acting school, we all learn this is very nouveau shaman.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what it is that's
in line
confusing
for
to you.
His acting school.
What was the first movie you saw with him? Like, when did you first realize, like, oh, this guy's special. I want to do some sleuthing on him. I want to look into who he is as a person, not just a character.
I mean, I think I saw Face Off a long time ago, but I didn't really, he just seemed like a movie star. And also that movie is such a crazy premise. That's all I remembered from it.
It's amazing. It's an amazing film. I did watch it the other day in my friend's backyard in his, you know, big, beautiful in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Like everybody has a friend who's a filmmaker of some kind that has a beautiful backyard with a giant screen. I recommend all of you to move to Los Angeles because you will meet 10 of these people and they will all invite you to their backyard screenings. And we all watched it. This is a year ago. And I will say this. It does not hold up, but it is great. I was like so excited to show my wife. I'm like, this is going to be great. And she's like, at the end of it, she's looking at me going, this is so stupid. And I'm like, I know. But these two men are fantastic in it. And so amazingly over the top, because they live up to, and I get it, Maria, they live up to the premise because the premise is so absurd and they commit the fuck out of it.
Yes.
And I get it. And that's, I think, what I'm getting from you is Nick commits to the tilt no matter what.
there was something like Peggy Sue Got Married that
was one of his earlier films.
Yeah, I think the Coppola directed that maybe. I can't remember. But anyway, I remember reading that they wanted to fire him because he was doing like some sort of Tweety Bird kind of thing. That it was just like he had an idea of what he wanted to sound like, be like, emulate, and it was just so bizarre. Before Pig and before reading this article about where he explained his nouveau shaman style acting and his deep desire to not be realistic, which I always think that like film acting should be realistic, or like that's what people think, you know, it should be like small. And because I grew up in theater and comedy, and I'm so bombastic as a person in some ways. And then, like, I feel like when I have to act, I just, like, make it smaller. But he doesn't feel that way at all. He's, like, nouveau shamaning. He's sewing, like, artifacts into his costumes to, like, feel more, I don't know, feel more Nick Cage.
Have you ever met him?
No, I never want to meet him.
You don't want to meet
him? No.
Why?
Because that...
Is it a meeting your heroes thing, or are you genuinely scared of him?
I'm not scared of him, but
it's okay. It's a safe space.
No, I'm not scared of him at all. I just, first of all, I'm not cool. Like I would probably freak out on him a little bit. I don't think he would like that. And also, I don't think that he would be so, he'd just be too weird for, I think he's probably a bizarre person.
I do a solid Nick Cage impression if we want to.
Oh my God! What are we doing?
So Maria, if you were to meet me right here now, you know, why can't you look me in the eyes, Maria?
See,
look me in the eyes, and just explain to me what it is that just makes this something that you can't do.
See?
Okay, how can we? How can I better you? How can I introduce you
to the
nouveau shaman?
Even you doing that is like sends me into these giggles. I would I can never. I hope I never meet him. I don't know.
And he'll love you, Maria, because he's Nick Cage. Like, that's the thing. The very thing that you think he won't do is what he will do. And he'll end up being the most charming person ever. And you're just going to be like...
I mean, I think he can do anything.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm curious, though, because earlier you said, okay, you know, he said this in an article, and I believe him. So you are emotionally invested into the Nick Cage truth. Why is that? What aspect has you sort of pulled like that?
First of all, I'm an idiot, because I don't think that what he's saying is real. I think that he, like, part of his magic, he's, like, very into his own persona, too, you know? So I'm sure that a lot of the things that he's saying is just, like, he's just... But so I both know that, and then I also, like, buy into it. You're right, I'm totally invested in what he wants to communicate about himself, which may or may not be true. Like, does he have two cobras? First of all, I don't even know if I want to know someone who has two cobras, but, like, it's so, I don't know. I like an extreme person. You know, I like my life to be, like, a little small. I like small build. I like living in small houses. Anyone that, like, is, like, a big artistic person that, like, just is blobbing out artistically all over the place is, it's fascinating to me.
It's a rock star mentality that he has. You know, we like rock stars. We know we shouldn't probably be hanging with rock stars,
yes,
healthily wise,
yes,
for our sanity. But we are all very much attracted. I'm very attracted to the Gallagher brothers from Oasis. Liam Gallagher is someone I should not be hanging out with, but he's someone who thinks very highly of himself and is probably an egotistical maniac. And that's the thing. But why are we attracted to these people, Maria? Like, because I get it. We are attracted to Nicolas Cage. His new movie, which I don't know if you've seen yet, which we'll have to talk about, the one where it's The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which is this meta film, which it's the culmination of all things Nick Cage.
I wish I would have wrote it. I loved it. I mean, writers talk about this too. It's like you sort of, like, write characters that you're like afraid, and I don't know if I'm a person that's, like, afraid of a lot of things or anything, but, like, you write because you want to dip your toe in, but you don't want all the repercussions, you know? I don't want to overspend by buying property everywhere and, like, you know, dinosaur skulls that belong to other countries that I have to like give back. That's what bankrupted him. One of the things, I remember that. But it's sort of, like, fun to think about being that reckless.
And it's fun to watch people that are just that confident, right? It's both,
yeah,
you look at them and shake your head a little, but also there is something very attractive watching men and women who are just so deeply confident in, like, who they are.
Yeah.
It's a very attractive thing. I think that's the rock star mentality. I think Nick has that. He's,
yes,
just clearly someone who just says, I know who I am. And even if he doesn't know who he is, he doesn't know who he is better than you. Like he mm-hmm. doubles down on whatever it is he's doing.
Yes, yes. He trusts himself in some way, even if it's like in this thing I read, he talked about all of his investments. And like he said, the best investments that he had like were things that he like unequivocally love. Like, I'm not saying that word wrong, but he bought like a comic book, you know, for $150,000, a first edition, I think Superman or something, because he loved it. He's, I guess he's also a big nerd. And then like via a Nick Cage story, it got stolen and then he got it back and then he sold it for $2 million.
Wow.
I would like to just follow all my loves, all the things that I loved. Mm-hmm.
He's a passion leader.
Yes. Yeah, he's a passion leader.
There's a great quote here, many quotes, because he's insanely wonderful. I remember when I met Johnny Depp. I don't know if we know this Johnny Depp story. I remember when I met Johnny Depp, he was a guitar player from Florida, and he had no idea that he could be an actor. I said, I really think you are an actor, that you have that ability. That was just from playing one game of Monopoly with him. I sent him to my agent, and he has gone out to carve out a successful career.
Monopoly.
Apparently this is true, though. Apparently this really happened. And Cage was the one who gave Johnny Depp essentially his first agent, first job. And it was over a Monopoly game. He was that charming.
And it was a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Or St. Elmo's Fire.
I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street. Or
was Nightmare like the first? Yeah. Now we're talking about other insane actors that.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm qualified to talk about that one.
So, Maria, I'm curious, when do you introduce your Nick Cage, I don't know, I guess I'll just use the word fanaticism, to your significant others, to your friends, to your family? Do they all know how you feel about Nick? Are they supportive of this, you know, passion of yours?
I think immediately. I think immediately. The guy I'm dating now, I think the first thing we did was watch a Nick Cage, like, we were like, we're going to watch, we didn't do this, but we did, we started it. We're like, we're going to watch one Nick Cage movie a day for a month. Can you imagine how insane we'd be? We didn't do that for our own mental health, but we did see, like, you know, it really runs the gamut. Like, Mandy is like this really weird movie that he did in his period where he would do any movie, but it turned out really great. Port of Call New Orleans or something, I think it's called, is really, really weird and terrible. You know, Adaptation was like when I liked Nick Cage, but not, I didn't understand him, but I was like, I love Charlie Kaufman so much.
Yeah. That was a special movie.
Yeah, really special movie.
So you said you didn't want to meet Nick, but what if you were cast in a movie with him?
I mean, just the whole thing, it makes me, I would have to take a lot of beta blockers. I would have to beta block myself to almost oblivion. Because I would freak out so much. No, I probably would, you know, I would get it together, but I would need some to have a plan.
What if we had to do a romantic scene together, Maria? Just trust me.
That's not how I feel about you, Nick, but I would do it, of course. Mm-hmm. Your love life seems very confusing to me, but but who am I to judge?
Oh my gosh. Leaving Las Vegas, is this a movie of movies for you?
You know, I haven't seen that one in a long time. That one's so dark. That's not one that I'll like go back and.
But did he win the Oscar appropriately, if one could say? Like, because, you know, we love him in all things.
Yes.
But we can also acknowledge that some of the things he does when he's performing are maybe a little odd. But that we also began this whole podcast with what is good acting, which I dig this idea. I mean, why do we give these awards for, you know, subjectivity is a fascinating thing that I'm constantly, you know, I know why, because it's a business. But we do love, just in general, and all things in life, giving awards. Yeah. Awards are just part of all subjects and all things.
Ridiculous. I feel like the longer you, the more Oscars and Emmys you see, you're like, oh, it really doesn't, those things like go, like disappear. Like, I, you know, like things that swept. I don't remember one thing about them.
But did he earn it? Did he earn something extra in this movie, do you think? Or do you think like any other performance?
I'm not a great fanatic, I guess, because I don't totally remember, like, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but it's Nicolas Cage, so give him a statue. You know?
They did.
Good.
Have you seen Wicker Man? Speaking of toned down Nick Cage.
I think he's unhappy with that movie. I think I read that he's unhappy with that movie. He wished they had gone farther.
But that seems to be how he lives his life. He wishes people would go further. I mean, everything about him is the extremist. And I think that's a really admirable quality.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to ask him? Pretend it didn't involve meeting him. Somehow you got to, like, have an interaction where you were, you know, you had the beta blockers, you were controlling yourself. What would you say to him? Like, what's the one thing you want to know from Nick?
I think I'd geek out on his, like, acting process. Like, he just talks about it so, like, how we would do in like, I feel like you go to drama school and then you get character stuff and you write out your character wants and needs and, you know, what you think about her or him. But then you get into the work, especially in comedy, and you don't really do that anymore. You don't do it as much as you used to. And I'm so interested in that he has this, like, it seems like his process is just like, he doesn't drink. He, like, gets deep into, it must just be bizarre to live with him. So I would want to ask him about what he does. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's different for every movie.
All right, Maria, I got a rapid fire for you. Now, you don't have to know every movie. But if you do,
okay,
we'd love to hear just like a quick sentence or response that you maybe have for it.
Okay.
Here we go. Con Air.
I mean, crazy. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen Con Air.
Great. Gone in 60 seconds.
Oh, I don't even remember that movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can pass. Raising Arizona.
Oh, I mean, I feel like there was a period of my time when that Nick Cage was like the perfect man. The crazy hair. Anyway, mm-hmm. Like it. Highly recommend.
National Treasure.
National Treasure.
It's in the title.
It's a perfect movie.
The perfect movie. The perfect movie. The Rock.
No. Don't know.
Valley Girl.
Gosh, no. Am I a fanatic? I don't know.
Listen, at the beginning of this episode, we said, what is good acting? What is a fanatic? You could watch one Nick Cage movie and be a fanatic, in my
opinion. Yeah, it's not about you knowing the Wikipedia. It's about your passion and love. Trust me.
Okay.
Yes, trust Claire. Just the fact that, yeah, you're starting to date this new gentleman, and you already started with, we should watch one Nick Cage movie.
Oh, he was into it. That's how we stayed together.
It's the glue. Nick was the glue.
Was like, that's a great idea. Not like, you're a psychopath.
All right, young Nick Cage versus now Nick Cage.
Oh, I mean, you know, now Nick Cage, because he's gone through all this stuff. I really am impressed that he worked his way out of a financial hole by doing, like, shitty movies.
Mm-hmm. Like Billy Joel.
Oh, did Billy Joel do that too?
Billy Joel had a manager who, like, shat all his money away, and that's why he's like tore. That's why he's like does every night at Madison Square Garden for like the last 100 years.
Oh,
because
wow.
He just needed to make all his money back. Yeah,
sometimes that can be a good thing because it gets you out there.
Yeah, that's the sweet thing, like a mom would tell Nick. That's a good thing, honey, because then it gets you out there. You've been an indoor kid too long. Get out there a little bit. People need to see more of your movies. You're good. You're so good. Thanks, Mom. All right. This has been a delight. This has been an absolute pleasure. I can't believe it's over, but this is where we're at. It's like at the end of any good Nick Cage movie. I can't believe it's over. Thank you, Maria. Could you please regale us with a love letter?
Okay, yes. Okay. My dear Nicola, dear Mr. Cage, I'm just going to keep my good thoughts. Dear Mr. Cage, thank you for restoring my faith in weird movie stars. I will see almost everything that you do and work back through your catalog, and I hope I see you at a restaurant sometime and not meet you, but just secretly take pictures of you. I don't know. Thank you, Nicolas Cage. Love, Maria.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I love that Maria loves Nick Cage. One of my favorite lines of any movie ever comes from Raising Arizona, which is, "Son, you got a panty on your head." And then the truck speeds off. So there's a few lines in my family of Kramers that kind of like get thrown out in any conversation. That line and the line from Christmas Vacation, another one of my favorite family movies, which is Grace, she died 30 years ago. So there's two of the Kramer lines, but one from a Nick Cage movie.
Nick Cage lives on within the Kramer family bloodline. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, Leaving Las Vegas, it is a dark movie. I think I need to rewatch it now. And I'm going to go on a Nick Cage bender. Like, he went on in Leaving Las Vegas, because it has sort of like spurted my reinterest in Nick Cage movies. Leaving Las Vegas is probably in top 10 of movies for me. Like, it's a phenomenal film. And you questioned his, not questioned, but you said, you threw out the question, did he deserve the Oscar? 100%. 100%.
It was a good performance. Subjectively, objectively, the whole thing is what you're saying.
Well, that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I guess acting is opening yourself up, opening your vessel up to things you have not lived through. But I often think that like portraying dying or death comes with so much, you know, we have so much misunderstanding around dying or death as a society and as people. We've talked about this before, that to portray that in a movie is extremely difficult, I think, because you just never, you don't know what it's going to be like. And for me, being around people who've died of long illnesses or, you know, extended illnesses, there's literally one day they may seem almost fine and then they're dead like 2 days later. It's crazy. So to have like, to show that like story and decline, I don't know. It's just very interesting. He deserved the Oscar, David. That's what I'm saying.
And he got it. It happened. So God bless you, Nick Cage, because if not that movie, it would have been something else. My Nick Cage is very firmly rooted in Con Air, The Rock, Face Off. When I think Nick Cage, that's how I grew up on him, in the sort of 90s Nick Cage. I don't know a lot of young Nick Cage. I've seen, I think it was Moon, oh God, forgive me. What's the Cher movie? Moonstruck. Yeah, so that was sort of my introduction to young Nick Cage. I enjoy old Nick Cage. I enjoy all Nick Cage. And I was thrilled with Maria's conversation today. It's just the greatest podcast. People getting so into something. I don't care what it is, and let alone that it is Nick Cage.
It's a wild time. It's a ride.
And thank you for bearing with my impression.
You know, I love the story about his voice and how he made that conscious decision to come up with his theatrical voice. I had not heard that before. Again, I will be Googling Nick Cage for the rest of today.
Yeah, it'll take you down a road. That's for sure.
And speaking of
going down a road, you of course can always go down a road of the Fanatics podcast. We have so many episodes now. Oh, you can just eat it with a spoon. So enjoy it wherever you get it, or however you're listening to it. Is it Spotify? Is it Apple? Is it SoundCloud? Do you download them on Napster? We appreciate however you listen to us. Feel free to 5-stars it up. Review, subscribe, share, all the things. Major thanks from Clairville and David Land. And we can't wait for you to enjoy another wonderful episode next Thursday, like you do. Bye, guys.
Yes. We'll see you then. Bye. And before you guys go, coming up next week on Fanatics, Kaden Mueller-Janssen. She is, of course, the star of Disney Channel's new series, Villains of Valley View. And her single, Kiss Kiss Baby, was number one on Disney Radio. She's coming on to talk about her love of shopping on Amazon.com. It's a great episode, so we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, FANADDICTS. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Not the bees. Not the bees, please. Not the bees in Nick's face. Not the bees. Not the bees, please. It's the greatest movie scene of all time.
Not the bees! Not the bees!
Enhance your listening experience with Wondery Plus. Enjoy ad-free listening, exclusive content, binges, and more. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.